You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
With about 100 games still left in the season, there's a lot of baseball to be played. And the NL West and AL West are still taking shape. I'm Allison Fritter from MLB.com. And some teams are doing pretty well, and some teams are trying to climb out of the cellar. A little bit of everything. Let's talk to the reporters about that.
Joe Manaea going on the DL with a strained forearm. Okay, so everyone in the universe that we live in now, which is like reading everything on Twitter, and everyone was freaking out because who wants to see that? But it seems like maybe there's a little hope there that it's, I think Bob Melvin said, muscular and minor. So those are two good words. So what's the feeling about Manaea's prognosis in the near future?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's disappointing just from the standpoint of he was doing so well, looking a lot better here recently. And then you watch a guy like that grab his forearm, and I think everyone was a little bit scared. I know Bob was saying, as soon as he saw that, your first thought is ligament damage, which, typically lends to Tommy John surgery. So obviously, it's easy to jump to conclusions, but the MRI showed that it was, like you said, muscular damage, not ligament related, and pretty minor in the area. They think he could actually follow a similar rehab plan that Sonny Gray did a couple weeks ago, where he only missed a little bit, I think only one more day than the minimum 15 days. So they think he could be back in a couple weeks, which is really good news when you look at the big picture. But at the same time, this is also a team that's really struggling, even just to field a rotation of five guys right now, just because of all the injuries, inconsistent performances. It's really been a struggle for them here lately. And I think this week and next week, it's going to be more of the same, just because they know they don't have Rich Hill for at least another 2 weeks. They don't have Sean Manaea for at least 2 weeks. So, this is a time when they really need the guys that they do have, guys like Sonny, Kendall Graveman, and then, of course, Daniel Mingden, who was called up last weekend, to perform well and give them innings, because this bullpen's been pretty taxed here.
Yeah, and I was reading about Eric Thurkamp. So, I mean, just like basically really ineffective and keeps getting opportunities because just how shorthanded they are, but they really can't keep throwing him out there, right?
Yeah, I mean, right now it seems like they have no choice. They've given him 7 starts already this year, which is already a new career high for Thurkamp, but he's struggled to give them innings. I mean, he just kind of stumbles out of the gate and can't really get back on track. And, I mean, they want to leave him out there, let him get through it, give them more innings. But, we saw last night, there just comes a point where you got to get him out of there. And I know he's frustrated. It's just a little weird. You see him go down to the minors, perform well at the AAA level, pitching in 5, 6, 7 innings, and then come up here and just look like a completely different pitcher. Now, it's obviously, a different stage up here, different opponents, a lot tougher. But at the same time, this is a guy who has had bits of success up here, and, they like the way he performed in spring training, expected a little bit more of him this year. And just because of their need for starters, continually hands him these starts, and he's just kind of coming up short each time. But it does seem like he could make another start, at least one more start, on this homestand, just because the team doesn't have another off day until Monday, and there's really no other options to come up and pitch in his place. The only other one would be Jesse Hahn, but he was optioned just this past Friday. So, the rule is that players need to be down for at least 10 days before they're brought up again, unless there's a DL move. So that would be the only way for them to get Jesse up here, but Jesse, too, has struggled. So really just a trying time for this rotation. And it's unfortunate to see with Thurkamp, just because, he has been given so many opportunities. This is his fourth stint this year already, and it's only June.
TR, They are 40-25. They are on a pace for just shy of 100 wins. But there are some issues, and we'll talk about Yu Darvish first, what everybody is talking about. So he had three starts after returning from Tommy John surgery, and then he went on the DL. So where are they with that? And I know it's discomfort in his throwing shoulder. Is this sort of a standard thing, maybe something that might happen as a guy's trying to come back, or should we be more worried about that?
Well, he had some discomfort in his shoulder, and it felt like it was a concern for him. The Rangers made sure an MRI was done, and there was no structural damage. So they're just going to wait and see how long it takes that discomfort to, you know, get out of the system, and then he'll get on a throwing program. And, you know, it just depends on how long it is, if how long he needs to get ramped up again. The Rangers are hopeful that it's going to be a very short-term injury, but obviously you never know.
Yeah, they said no acute findings. And I mean, I guess because it's not his elbow. Maybe I'm just surprised that this doesn't happen to more guys when they've had like a year and a half layoff from pitching in the majors. And, you know, these guys make everything they do look very easy on the field. That is why they're Major League Baseball players. But I would think that wouldn't be an unusual thing. It's like when somebody tries to start, you know, an average Joe tries to, like, start running after not running for 8 months, and he, you know, can get through, like, a quarter of a mile. And it just takes time to build, and maybe there's just some aches and pains that might come along with that. I mean, is it kind of surprising it doesn't happen to more guys?
Well, you know, obviously I haven't studied every Tommy John surgery like I think Jeff Passan did, but you know, I think Matt Harvey had some issues last year that he had to work through, and I think Jose Fernandez did as well. You know, obviously every pitcher is different. Darvish has had some neck issues before in his career, so that might be part of it. You know, the Rangers just have to wait this out and see how he responds and if he can get back on the mound. But, you know, he was pitching very well before he got shut down again, so, you know, he's obviously able to pitch when he's healthy. It's just a matter of him feeling comfortable and confident to go back out there pain-free.
So in the interim, they have to figure out how to fill his spot. I mean, Darvish just came back, and we've been chatting about the Rangers for a very long time now, and it seemed like, I mean, they're obviously doing fine without him in the rotation. But now, I don't know, maybe there's a little bit of trouble. Cesar Ramos did not have a good outing as a fill-in. Are they still sort of in search for who might be a more permanent temporary replacement, if there is one?
Well, they have Ramos. You know, this guy only needs to pitch once more on Saturday against St. Louis. And then the next time his turn comes up would be Thursday, which is an off day. So, you know, maybe after that, Darvish would be ready to pitch again. Ramos has pitched well. He had a rough start his last time out, but prior to that, he pitched very well. They have Nick Martinez, who's a veteran pitcher, who could step in. And they have Kyle Lewis down in AAA on AAA contract. I think his ERA is like 5.86, but, you know, he might be a possible answer. And they still have A.J. Griffin on medical rehab assignment, although he's definitely not going to be ready for Saturday against St. Louis. So they have a few options there. And again, hopefully for the Rangers' sake, it's just one more start, and then Darvish will be ready.
Greg, I want to ask you first just about Felix Hernandez. Little slower than expected with his recovery. They don't really know how long he's going to be out until, but I just wanted to kind of ask you, like, what is your opinion of the rotation without him if they have to move forward without his assistance for, like, an extended amount of time? You still feel pretty good about where this team is?
Yeah, Allison, it's, you know, anytime you're without Felix, it's a tough deal. And then last night they got Taiwan Walker had an issue come up. And so that's another, a foot problem with him, a tendon in the arch of his foot. So tough deal if they're going to be without those two guys. They don't think Walker's going to be out too long yet. We're still waiting for an update on him, but yeah, Felix, that's a tough blow. They've done well with James Paxton stepping up real big. Pitching well in his absence here his last couple starts, but it's tough to go, you know, thinking you're going to go too deep with your ace on the sideline. So they do hope to get Felix back sometime in July. It's still kind of iffy on his timing, so we'll see how that works out. But Yeah, there's no doubt they're going to miss Felix for whatever that length of time is. And they're trying to kind of keep things together with the rotations they've got. Pitching is the name of the game, and we'll see where they go with it.
Yeah, so with Walker's outing, let's talk a little bit more about that. So he's out after 3 1/3 innings, like you said, with the aggravated tendon in the arch of his right foot. He was rushed up in that outing, too. So is this was this all correlated? I mean, was this something that had been bothering him when he was warming up? Did he notice it, or did it develop through the start?
He said it's something that he has felt. You know, he had a little problem with it earlier in the year and pitched through it. So, it wasn't a big deal at that time. Last night with his start, he came out and his first inning, he strikes out the side. He ends up striking out the first guy in the second inning. And then at some point there in that inning, he said he felt a little twinge there in that foot. And that's, a little warning sign for him. And then I think the next inning went to field a comebacker and kind of felt something a little more from there. And then the third inning went over to cover first base on a ground ball on the right side and again felt something. And the coaches noticed and the trainers that he was having trouble pushing off. Wasn't getting, the push off that he needed coming down the mound that you hope to see him and start pitching more with his arm instead of his legs. And that's not what you want to see. So they went out and asked him about it. And he acknowledged that he's having some problems with it. So they got him out of there right away. The last thing you want to do is have a little foot injury turn into an arm problem because you're throwing wrong. So yeah, we'll see. We're just finding out today, probably a little more on where his situation is, but certainly something to keep an eye on. Tough to go far without Felix and Taiwan for very long. That's for sure.
Yeah, I'm sure these have been kind of frustrating times a little bit for the Mariners. I mean, we were, things were going so well for them in April. And Scott Servais seems to, I'm kind of keeping my eye on him just because I'm just so curious about first-year managers, how they handle things. Scott Servais seems to be keeping a very even keel. He understands, obviously, the ups and downs of a season. They're through their recent stretch of just losing 5-6 to the Rangers. I mean, it's got to be frustrating. How has he been through this?
That was a tough stretch. I mean, they played the Rangers, two series in the span of 10 days and dropped 5 of the 6, as you mentioned. That's tough, when you're going up. They came into that first series dead even, and now, here we are 2 weeks later, and they're about 5 back. So that's something that, they're going to have to look back on later, see if that's a key to the season or not. They've definitely got to start making up ground over the long haul here. But Servais, he's handled things well. I mean, he's a first-year manager, but he seems to have a real good feel for the clubhouse. He seems to have a good sense of the guys, and I've been impressed with him, really, from the start of camp. He's come out and established a pretty good rapport with the players. It's definitely their clubhouse, their team. He's let them play, have loose. His big message is be yourself, and he's kind of carrying that through right now. You guys got to stay loose, keep playing ball, and we'll be all right. He likes his club. He keeps saying, I like this club. I like where we're going. We just got to stay with it. If they're about, 160 games into the season, roughly. And he says, hey, if you told us this is where we're going to be coming out of camp, pretty rough first month or two schedule-wise with this club, I don't think anybody would have turned down this, where we are right now. So maybe disappointing this last stretch, but overall, big picture, feels pretty good about where they are. They just want to be positioned to be playing meaningful games in August and September and see what they can do there.
Let me see where we can start here. It sounds like the home crowd is getting a little restless too, which I find unfortunate. So they've lost 7 of 9 and they're, 9 games under 500. They hit the 10-game under 500 mark for the first time since 2013, a couple days ago. So it seems to be a starting pitcher problem. What's the scene there? Just as far as how are fans starting to get mad? Is it when they're giving up a lot of runs or when they're not scoring a lot of runs?
Well, Allison, it's not just a starting pitcher problem right now. It's kind of an everything problem. Starting pitching, I think, is where it all starts, but I think that trickles down to the bullpen, which has been taxed because the rotation is A, not healthy, and B, not performing, and the offense. As many people talked about heading into the year, it's just very subpar. And, there are many nights when the Angels struggle to score runs or when their starting pitcher puts them in a really deep hole early or where their bullpen blows it late or as it happened on Monday when the fans started booing in around the seventh inning when the defense wasn't there. And, you know, that's the thing that the Angels cannot afford to do. I mean, they are not, and, you know, several players talked about it after the game. They're not good enough to sustain lapses on defense. They're not good enough to sustain errors or, you know, mental errors, physical errors, anything like that. They have to be sharp in everything they do because the talent level on their roster and the length of their DL, you know, makes them walk with a very small margin for error. And this is a really tough time for them right now. They're, as of Tuesday, won on Tuesday, but they're still 9 games below 500. They're about 12 games back, I want to say, in the American League West. And, you know, we're getting toward the midway point of the year. And as we talked about, we're getting toward the middle of the season. We're getting toward July when front offices start making decisions in terms of what's going to happen this year, what course they're going to take. So if it's going to happen, if they're going to go on a run, it has to happen now, it seems.
Yeah, you had a great, you painted a great picture of Houston Street coming out of I guess, the trainer's room after a game, and like every limb was kind of wrapped up or being tended to in some way by ice, which is, and then you went on to talk about the bullpen being overworked, and of course they're going to say, you know, all the right things about how they can handle it, but that is the problem. I mean, that's a problem to any team that has to rely heavily on their bullpen is, like, what's going to happen? Like you say, it's coming up at the midway point of the season. How long can they sustain?
And that's the thing. I mean, the only thing that they can look forward to right now are the off days because, you know, and to be fair to the Angels, there aren't many teams, I don't know that there are any team that could really carry on with a roster that has 5 starting pitchers on the disabled list. I mean, if you look at the 5 guys that they have on the DL, it's Garrett Richards, Andrew Heaney, C.J. Wilson, Tyler Skaggs, and Nick Tropiano. If those 5 made up a rotation, that'd be a pretty good rotation. You know, that's what the Angels have on the DL right now. And it's hard, you know. It's hard to sustain that. And that's why the bullpen has been worked so hard lately. Over these last 11 games, the Angels have gotten 1 quality start. The bullpen has worked 41 innings. That is tops in the major leagues. And I think the craziest thing about this season has been just kind of all the roster turnover that has had to take place because of it. They've already used 12 different relievers. 5 of the 8 guys that they have in their current bullpen have been in the minor leagues at least one time. They've designated 7 relievers for assignment since the start of May because they constantly have to keep shuffling the deck because arms are tired or there's a day when the bullpen works 7 innings and they need to call up a starting pitcher. I mean, and they need to call up an extra arm. It's just, it's been grueling on the bullpen, but that's what happens. That's what happens with injuries. And, you know, the one thing that you can't really project heading into the year is how healthy your players are going to be. And this just seems like one of those years. I mean, Allison, this is my 5th year covering the Angels. I've never seen them this hurt. And I've talked to several people who have been there longer than me. They've never seen a team go through this many injuries. It's not just the amount of players that are on the DL, but it's how important the players who are on the DL are to this Angels team. It's been really tough, and it's especially tough for a team that does not have the controllable young players in its system, that does not have those prospects that are ready to come up and contribute. So the Billy Epler has had to get really, really creative in his first year as GM.
Well, I want to ask you just about, let's do a little DL update and a little, well, more of like an injury update. First of all, Mike Trout was DHing for a while, so is that coming to an end? Is he back? Is he okay?
Yeah, that was just a one-day thing. He got hit in the right thumb by a fastball. He DHed the next day, but he's fine. He's 24. He's like bulletproof, right?
Right. Yeah, I guess the alarm bells went off when I looked at that, when I saw that little bit. I thought, oh, no.
That's the last thing they need, Allison. That is it. That would be it right there.
Yes, that would be like that would be a terrible, awful thing that I am going to hope never ever happens. Someday we're going to be like not be able to say like Mike Trout is only 24. Like someday he's going to be 30, and I just hope that he's still doing what he's doing now. Okay, Giovanni Soto. So is he might be going on a rehab assignment soon?
Yeah, I think he's going to be in Arizona this weekend while the team is on the road. He's a about 4 weeks removed from surgery to his right knee, but he's already squatting, catching bullpens, and hitting. So it looks like maybe late June, and so he's getting closer. The guy who's getting really close, though, Allison, is Andrelton Simmons. I expect him to be activated for Wednesday's game. This guy had surgery on his left thumb just a little bit more than 4 weeks ago. He came back. If he does indeed get activated, he came back a lot faster than what the projection said. Most guys take about 8 weeks to 2 months to come back from a surgery like this. Usually your thumb has to be immobilized for 6 weeks. Simmons is going to be back before the five-week period, which has been, it's been a remarkable recovery.
Tags, I was watching this game. First of all, Astros were playing in St. Louis. It's very reminiscent of the old days. This is the first trip there, I think, since 2013, or maybe the first time they played them. But this was, like, hilarious because Doug Fister is the starting pitcher, and the pitchers are, of course, not used to hitting. And, of course, he drives in 2 runs for himself. I mean, that had to have been, I don't know. I just felt like I was watching, like, an old Astros game, an old National League game. That had to have been a huge lift for the team.
Yeah, it made me miss Astros Cardinals. You know, I kind of could get used to them playing a lot again. But, yeah, Fister coming up and getting the big hit and doubling his career RBI total was pretty cool. And he also dropped down a bunt. And, you know, yeah, I expected Berkman and Oswald to come out of the dugout at one point as well. But, no, it was a good win for them. Fister's been by far their best starting pitcher, and he's sort of become their stopper. I mean, they needed a win, and he's gone out and won 9 consecutive games now in which he's pitched. And so with him on the mound, I think they're 11-2, so kind of an under-the-radar signing. It's turned out to be a very, very good one.
Yeah, that to me it was like just a textbook win. So you have the starting pitcher who – you know, he has a really good outing. He drives in a couple runs for himself, and then they have, you know, the 2 more reliable guys come out of the bullpen. And then Colby Rasmus. So, you know, we've talked about him a little bit, but Colby Rasmus is an extremely likable person. I have to say that, first of all. And he had some really rough times. I mean, the only thing we knew about him, really, when he came to Houston was just the things that you heard about what went on with him, Tony La Russa in St. Louis. He was obviously a hugely touted prospect in that organization and came up through the system. And then, you know, it doesn't work out for him there. He comes to Houston. He finds a very comfortable place, and he hits a home run last night. What kind of thrill was that for him, just to be able to do that in front of a pretty good crowd in St. Louis?
Yeah, I mean, he kind of downplayed it after the game. But, I mean, I think it was a pretty special day for him. He said before the game that he joked with his family on the off day before coming here about what to expect in St. Louis, and he joked about tipping his cap, and, you know, they gave him a nice little applause, and there was a couple of boos mixed in there, but I think it was, you know, he spoke about how he learned a lot of things here, and, you know, he said he was blessed to play for the Cardinals, but, you know, I think it was a rough time for him, just being the prospect and the can't-miss guy on an older team, and frankly, the veterans didn't really treat him very well, and he couldn't be himself, and, you know, really took its toll, and then, of course, the run-ins with La Russa. But I think all that has helped him to get where he is now, and at 29 years old, you know, I think if he's with the Cardinals, if he's 29 back on that team, I think he'd obviously fit in a lot better, maybe do some things differently. But he's grown as a person. I think playing here in St. Louis was a big part of it, and I think hitting that home run was probably his biggest thrill of the season. Like I said, he downplayed it a little bit, but it had to be fun for him just to play in this ballpark and hit one out of here and get another hit as well, just have an all-around good game.
And let's touch on Danny Wirth a little bit. So he got a call up, and I'm trying to figure out where he's going to – I mean, I don't know how long he's going to be up for, obviously. Nobody does. But he took Luke Gregerson's spot on the roster. Gregerson is out with dealing with some family business. Danny Wirth is an infielder. So – maybe getting some at-bats against left-handed pitching. I mean, they're not really looking. He's had a monster year in AAA, but they're not really looking for him to be, like, taking over a starting job or anything like that.
No, AJ said he would, especially against left-handers, he would play third base. So I guess we'll see him against lefties, Albuena against righties. But he said the more he hits, the better he hits, the more he's going to play. He can play some first as well. But right now it's a platoon situation with him and Valbuena, although he is in the lineup here today against the right-hander. So I think AJ just trying to ride the hot hand a little bit. But I think AJ's wanted to get him up for a while. Yeah, he's 30 years old. He's not a prospect, but, you can't ignore the numbers he was putting up at AAA. And, maybe he's figured something out. Who knows? Maybe he's a late bloomer, or maybe, he turns out to, hit 260 and contribute in other ways. But, again, they're just looking for ways to infuse some life into this lineup. And I don't think it's a given when Gregerson comes back that Worth goes down. I mean, I think that the chance that Tyler White stays here could be numbered, and especially if Worth is playing some first and cutting into his time a little bit at that position. But he's, as long as he hits, he's going to stay here. I mean, AJ said they have some spots on the team that are open, and if some people come up and take them, they're going to get the lion's share of the playing time, and corner infields are included in that list.